Welcome to BWLPG's third quarter 2023 financial results presentation. Bringing you through the presentation today are CEO Christian Sørensen, CFO Samantha Xu, and EVP Commercial Niels Rigault. We are pleased to answer questions at the end of the presentation. Should you have any, please type them into the chat box in your Zoom panel. You may also use the raise hand option. Before we begin, we wish to highlight the legal disclaimers shown on the current slide. This presentation, held on Zoom, is also recorded. I now turn the call over to Christian.
Thank you, and hello everyone, and welcome to our Q3 earnings release. I'm happy to be joined today by our CFO, Samantha, and our Head of Commercial, Niels. To start off with the highlights, we're pleased to report our highest historical daily TCE at an average of $63,100 per available day. We report a net profit after tax of $122 million, equivalent to earnings per share of 85 cents. This is after a downward IFRS adjustment of $24 million. For the third quarter, we're also pleased to announce a dividend of 80 cents per share, which translates into an annualized yield of 22%. Due to the requirements in connection with our US listing process, we can no longer refer to non-IFRS terms like trading profit for product services results or in our dividend policy. And the revision of the dividend policy was necessary since last quarter. Like previously, the revised dividend policy will still be based on the shipping performance and the net profit after tax generated by the shipping segment, while also adjusting for product services performance, cash, and capital requirements. We're happy to answer any questions after the presentation regarding the dividend policy. For the third quarter, 100% dividend payout is sourced from our shipping earnings with an upward adjustment of 2 cents. And moving over to subsequent events for the quarter, BW Tokyo is delivered to BWLPG this month after exercising an attractive purchase option earlier this year. The vessel will be on a 6-year time charter starting in Q1, securing a return of capital employed of approximately 18% over the time charter period. In addition, we're pleased to announce that we have entered into an agreement to sell the BW Princess with delivery first quarter next year. The sale is expected to generate approximately $64 million in liquidity and a net book gain of $20 million. Further, we're also increasing our operated VLGC fleet, which will expand to 45 vessels, as Sinogas is joining the pool in the fourth quarter by adding one LPG dual fuel vessel. And then, looking at our market outlook, we reiterate our positive view for 2023 and 2024. Although high volatility remains. And the key reasons for this include energy prices that are conducive to continued strong US exports and steady export growth from the Middle East. Further, new PDH plants, which are coming on stream in China, supporting the demand side of the market. And we also see continued growth in the residential sector in the developing world. We also see delivery of VLGCs to slow down after the summer of 24. And shipyards are booked until first half of 2027. And of course, the much talked about disruptions in the Panama Canal that will continue to absorb capacity from the VLGC fleet. We have recently experienced how ongoing challenges relating to low water levels and persistent drought conditions lead to further restrictions on canal transits. As mentioned in the early presentations, VLGCs have lower priority than LNG carriers and container vessels, forcing them to sail alternative longer voyages from the US to Asia via Suez or South Africa. And these longer hauls extend the sailing days by up to 50%. While the factors mentioned above paint a positive picture for the VLGC shipping market, it's also important to remind ourselves that things can change quickly. We are watchful of the current uncertain macroeconomic environment and how much this can impact the current strong market environment. Those are the highlights. Next slide, please. Under the current market conditions, the VLGC sector is generating a dividend potential which is unprecedented for the segment. Depending on your view of the market, we have simulated and illustrated the dividend yield potential in this slide. We are also pleased to have returned more than 70% of our earnings and dividends since the IPO 10 years ago. Based on the current share price, we have a 28% annual return to our investors if you had reinvested the dividends in the share during the same period. And with that, I'll hand it over to Nils to cover the commercial slides.
Thank you, Christian. And hello, hello to everyone listening. I'd like to turn the focus to slide 8 in our presentation. Predicting the future is always complex, particularly when macroeconomics, geopolitics, and climate issues are raised at the same time, shadowing and fact-based logical forecasts as we experienced this year. 2023 has proven surprisingly robust for the VLGC segment, making a historic high. In the third quarter alone, we witnessed a remarkable 30% increases across all rate indexes, largely driven by sustained high import volumes to China, and the widening arbitrage between the US and Far East had also encouraged active trading between the regions. As Christian mentioned, a major point of discussion is the Panama Canal. We have observed significant impacts on spot rates due to operational disruptions. At the end of the second quarter, the main reservoir of the canal experienced critical low water levels. Subsequent lack of seasonal rainfall led the canal authority to limit transits, preserving water resources. This limitation on VLGC transit, as mentioned by Christian, could result into a 50% increase in sailing days for the fleet trading between US and the East. However, it is crucial to note that the inefficiencies leading to the high rates also translates into increased cost for owners and traders, a burden not easily passed on to the end users. Looking forward, our supply-demand model suggests a positive outlook for the VLGC market. Of the 43 VLGC newbuildings scheduled for delivery this year, 75% have already been delivered. We anticipate further growth in LPG export from North America and the Middle East. However, it's important to recognize that several unpredictable factors could significantly influence rate fluctuations, as we saw in 2023. Moving on to slide 11. Our fleet composition remains robust with 45 VLGCs despite active sales. As Christian mentioned, we finalized the sale for another ship this quarter at record levels, scheduled for delivery at the end of the first quarter next year. In addition, we are pleased to welcome Sinagaz to our pool, contributing their first dual fuel ship in the fourth quarter of this year. Their addition underscores the benefits of scale in this volatile market. Let's move to slide 13. Our time charter equivalent performance for the third quarter was 63,100 per day for the entire fleet. This figure includes fixed time charters and derivative hedges. The spot fleet achieved a TCE of 81,300 per day, excluding waiting days. Given the current market volatility, we remain focused on optimal managing our risk. For the fourth quarter, around 79% of our available days are fixed at an average of 73,000 per day. Our spot rate currently stands at 104,000 per day, and we expect a strong final earnings for Q4, reflecting the exceptional hot spot market. For 24, 19% of our fleet is already fixed under TC, with an average daily rate of 41,300. We have balanced our TC in and out commitments in 24, securing a 23 million profit. Additionally, 30% of our days are hedged with derivatives at an average TCE of 59,000 per day. Before handing over to Samantha for the financial overview, I'd like to provide a brief update from product services. In 2023, they have handled approximately 7 million tons of physical LPG and about 20 million tons of derivatives. Next year, they anticipate a 30% increase in volumes. They have expanded into the mid-size space, securing two TCs, allowing us to tap into the new market beyond the VLGC segments. On FOB product contracts, we have renewed our U.S. Gulf equity commitments, but also secured a term contract in the Middle East, diversifying our exposure and mitigating Panama Canal risk. Now, I pass the microphone to Samantha for a closer look at our financials.
Thank you, Niels, and hello to everyone on the call. So let me continue to add some colors to the product services performance. The net asset value of product services increased by $12 million to $44 million at the end of September. This $12 million net profit comprised $34 million realized gain from trading operations and $22 million unrealized mark-to-market losses from cargo contracts and hedging derivatives. This reported net profit does not include the unrealized mark-to-market valuation of our five TC-in vessels. Our internal valuation of these TC-in contracts at the end of September was $65 million. This positive value reflects the continued strong development in the 12-month forward freight market for VLGCs, which is the period we use to evaluate freight positions in product services. As you can see, the value at risk, VaR, is relatively stable, and the portfolio is well balanced between cargoes, shipping, and derivatives from a trading book perspective. We continue to see good collaboration and synergy between product services and our shipping business through improved information flow, optionality, and enlarged footprint. While focusing on profit, product services are also progressing in expanding the physical presence in key markets as we aim to broaden the platform and trading portfolio. Next slide, please. Starting with the income statement, on a consolidated basis, for the third quarter, we reported a net profit after tax of $122 million. This includes $16 million in profit from BW LPG India and $12 million in profit from product services. The net profit also included a downward adjustment of $24 million related to IFRS 15 adjustment, as Christian has just mentioned. This is because the TCE for the straddling voyages over the quarter ends is recognized on a load to discharge basis. We expect that IFRS 15 adjustments will increase in future periods if freight rates continue to increase from the current level and if the total voyage days increase as the Panama Canal restriction persists. We reported an earnings per share of 85 cents this quarter, the majority of which was contributed by our core shipping segment of approximately 78 cents. We reported a net leverage ratio of 22% in Q3. This was due to a heightened working capital requirement from increased product services activities. The board declared Q3 dividend of 80 cents per share, which represents 103% payout of Q3 and year-to-date shipping NPAT. Our balance sheet ended the quarter with a shareholders' equity $1,522 million US dollars. When adjusting for a $480 million excess in broker valuation over book value, we reached an adjusted NAV per share of 150 NOK, an uplift from book value of about $3 per share after adjusting for minority interest in BW India and product services. Our positive free cash flow of $75 million this quarter was derived mainly from our strong operating cash flows, but offset by the buildup in working capital. Our return on equity and capital employed for Q3 was 32% and 24% respectively. Next, we move on to some key statistics on our shipping business. Our daily OPEX came in at $8,500 per day, mainly due to higher maintenance and repair expenses. For 2023, we expect our operating cash break-even for our owned fleet to be at about $18,600 per day. This is $500 per day lower than our Q2 report, driven by early repayment for debt. Coming to slide 16, it provides a summary of our liquidity and financing structure. On a consolidated basis, we ended the quarter with close to $500 million in liquidity, including $190 million of available cash after netting of $110 million held in broker margin accounts and $196 million in undrawn revolving credit facilities. As of the end of September, ship financing debt outstanding was reduced to $326 million. This follows a $110 million repayment of a revolving facility after conversion from term loan. These initiatives align with our strategy to reduce debt costs and maintain funding flexibilities. On the trade financing side, $172 million, or 26% of our current $660 million line, have been utilized, with $86 million related to advances drawn and another $86 million in letter of credit issuance, leaving a healthy headroom for growth. We remain on track to expand our lending group further and upsize our trade financing line to $800 million. For perspective, these limits will allow us to trade up to 8 million tons of physical LPG per annum from the US to the Far East under current market conditions. On this note, let me open the floor for questions. Back to you, Lisa.
Thank you, Samantha. We will begin our Q&A session now. Should you have questions, please type them into the Zoom chat box. You can also click the raise hand button to ask your questions verbally. Please note that participants have been automatically muted. Please press unmute before speaking. The first question, over to you, Glenn.
Thank you, Lisa. Our first question comes from Nick Linane, and he asks, what percentage FFA coverage on total available days do you have in Q4 23, and at what rate?
Nils?
That's a question for me. No, as I mentioned, I mean, we do manage our risk is important. And for the remaining of the year, we have about 8% covered under FFAs, and on TC equivalent, that will be around $35,000 per day.
The next question comes from Petter Haugen. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, guys. Okay, I have a few questions, but just to clarify that first question, the $35,000 on the FFA side, is that what you have covered the 8% at, or is it a differential from something else?
No, that's the average TCE we have for those 8%.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Well, firstly, the slide number 10 you're showing now, you had a similar slide last quarter, but then you only included 2023 onlook. So I'm referring to the expected growth of LPG exports from North America in particular. The 12% on the slide for 2024 growth, 9% for 2025 growth. Is that your honest opinion?
Yeah, I can answer that, Petter. Yes, it is, and we can see historically that we've been too conservative on the production export capacity from the States. What we have seen recently is that the wells, as they become more mature in the States, are more gaseous than we believed, and we also see a higher level of productivity from the producers in the US. And on the top of that, we are also on the same slide. You know, you can see that we are positive, although at a more moderate level for the Middle East exports.
Mm. Yeah, according to my models, you wouldn't have sufficient ships to carry all that cargo, actually. But that's a problem for next year. Going forward, then, just a quick question on the ethane, the BLECs coming now. Do you expect them to do any conventional LPG trade, or will those be observed in or be employed in the ethane market solely?
Yeah, they will be employed in the ethane market, so they're not going to participate in the LPG trade.
No, I mean, we see already the existing ships, even though the LPG market is at record levels, we have not seen them at all entertaining the market. So,
Thank you. That's interesting. And in terms of the just a final question then on the LPG exports, on the terminal capacity side, Enterprise and Targa and all those guys, do they come with sufficient export capacity in your opinion to meet those growth rates?
Well, yes, they we believe so, but we can also see that they are planning to invest more in their capacity, and obviously that also goes for Targa and the other terminal operators in the US. So we can see that the terminals, as well as the big oil companies like Exxon and Chevron, they keep on investing in the US shale oil and gas story, which we see as a bullish sign going forward.
Thank you. A final one from me. I'm sorry for all the questions, but on product services, that's been one of the, well, it's a still fairly new side of your company. And if I'm reading the report right now, the forward book stood at 34 million of mark to market as per end Q2. That has now almost doubled to 65 million as per end Q3. And just to make sure that I understand that correct, that's the mark to market of all forward exposures in the product services.
Samantha, would you like to reply on that?
Yes, indeed, Peter. So that's our internal valuation based on the position we took in for the five chartering vessels versus the current market value of the current value of the shipping positions.
Understood. And as you've guided priorly, there is not significant gross positions in the product services forward book, is it?
Can you repeat your question, Peter?
No, I'm just trying to make sure that trying to understand is a better wording up to, I suppose, doubling the forward value of the entire book within a quarter without taking directional bets is, I suppose, difficult. But from my understanding previously, you do not take large directional bets within the product services portfolio. So this is, my understanding is that the increases in the forward value is predominantly driven by good trading more than directional risk taking.
This is directly driven by the fair value of the shipping position.
Okay, so then would that be a significant uplift of a net long position? Is that?
It's Petr. Let me just add. You know, the it's not like they have added much length or anything to the shipping portfolio. It's just that we, from a mark-to-market basis, And this is driven again very much by the also by the spot market and the way shipping is valued on the back of what's happening, you know, around the Panama Canal and so on. And that has driven up the mark-to-market valuation of the shipping positions that and the portfolio that product services have.
Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
And from the chat, we have a question from Tom Vidar Shesul. He asks, can you elaborate on the decrease in expected time charter in days in 2024 versus 2023?
Should I take that one?
Yeah, Nils, you can go for that.
Okay. Well, I wish I had more length for next year. But I mean, the main reasons too is that two of our ships we had on TC in. We also had purchase options, which we, you know, declared because they were very favorable and also decreased our cash break even. Secondly, is that obviously there are several ships expiring next year. We are in the middle of negotiating renewals. But, you know, the time charters market for the next 2-3 years indicates the market to be around $50,000 to $60,000 per day. So it's quite elevated. So,
okay, we have a follow-up question from Ton Vidar Shesul. He asks, have you considered repayment of paid-in capital as an element or alternative to ordinary dividends?
I can answer that, and the answer is no.
Okay, Lisa, I have no further questions on the chat.
Samantha, would you like to add something or?
No, I think that there's no difference making to the EPS what is a repayment of the paying capital or treasury share.
Once again, should you have questions, please type them into the Zoom chat box. You can also click the raise hand button to ask your question verbally. Please note that participants have been automatically muted. Please press unmute before speaking. Glenn?
We have another question from George Hulse, and he asks, why would you not return excess capital to shareholders?
Well, excess capital, we are returning as much dividend as we can every quarter. So I think, you know, and we believe we have a fairly generous dividend policy. So it's to return excess capital over and above what they pay in dividends is not what we intend to do.
Should you have questions, please type them into the Zoom chat box. You can also click the raise hand button to ask your question verbally. Please note that participants have been automatically muted. Please press unmute before speaking. Once again, should you have questions, please type them into the Zoom chat box. You can also click the raise hand button to ask your question verbally. Please note that participants have been automatically muted. Please press unmute before speaking. We have some questions from the chat box. Glenn, please.
A follow-up question from Nick Linane, and he asks, I think why people are asking about return of capital is that return of capital does not attract withholding tax, whereas ordinary dividends do.
Okay, I Samantha, would you like to reply on that, or?
Yeah, I think we have different ways of returning the values to the shareholders, paying out consistent dividends to the shareholders, as well as continuing our share buyback program at the right level, our ways of returning. So that we will continue to evaluate that at the right timing. So it's not it's not something that we have not considered.
Yeah, and share buybacks is of course another alternative which we have done previously and can happen again if we believe the share price is trading in the territory where we see that as a good alternative to also paying dividends.
And we have another question from Gerald Dicus, and he asks, do you anticipate the US listing earlier on 1.4 or at the end of Q2 2024?
Samantha, do we have any more specific dates than Q2 24?
Well, we are working very proactively on a very demanding timetable, but we're committed to the timeline of Q2 2024. Please allow us this room to manage, but we are very confident about Q2 2024.
From George Hulse, he asks, do you see any room for consolidation in the LPG space with so many new buildings coming?
Good question. We always look for ways to consolidate, but it's easier said than done. And especially so when the asset prices are at the levels where they are now. So we hope that we in the future will also continue to be a consolidator in the LPG space. At the moment, it's hard to calculate home some of the asset prices that we see in the market.
There's not enough ships out there,
so we can. But again, this is something we continue to observe, and if we find the opportunity right, we will do it like we have done before, and be a consolidator in the market.
George Hulse also follows up with another question on new buildings, and he asks, new building prices, are they likely to come down?
It's a good question, but new building prices is a little bit like the shipping market. It is volatile, but right now we see the yards being very, very confident. I mean, the capacity of the yards is about 30% less than what we have seen in the past. And as we mentioned now, ordering today, you will get your ship in, well, maybe if you're lucky, first or second half 27. So the yards are not in the hurry to take down the prices. But I mean, everything which goes up also goes down one day. The question is when. But the likelihood for prices to keep at current level is, well, it's difficult to see that they will drop in the near future.
George, please go ahead.
Yeah, I would just agree with Christian that new build prices are unlikely to come down anytime soon. As he rightly points out, the market capacity of shipbuilding is not the same as the previous market from 03 to 07. So with all the new buildings being increased, well, there have been new buildings ordered by the independents. So this is really my point, is how the independents will monetize those assets. Do you not see a case for taking some of them over with part cash, part payment, in a way to grow your company via the shipping side?
Thanks for the question. Of course, without being too specific about what kind of opportunities we evaluate and consider at any point in time, we are always trying to use various ways of, let's say, currencies to see whether we can consolidate the market. So, but again, this is easier said than done, especially now when the prices are at a very high level historically, and we struggle to identify profitable growth opportunities, you know, on the back of the elevated asset prices. If that answers the question.
I think it does. So thank you.
Okay, we're going back to Gerard Dicus, and he asks, do you expect again a Q4 a write down of 24 million?
Samantha, would you like to comment on the IFRS for Q4?
Well, the only thing is certain is that there will be adjustment coming from IFRS 15. And as for how much and what direction, I would say that it's very much depends on the vessels routing and how they're loading and discharge day compared with the quarter end. So I would say that there will be likely a revision of a certain degree of this quarter. But there will be further adjustments of a Q4, depends on how the voyages ends and straddle over to Q1 2024.
And Nick Lilane asks, of the 11 VLGCs you show are still to be delivered in Q4 2023 on page 8, how many do you think will actually be delivered in 4Q23 versus pushed into Q1 of 2024?
Nils, would you like to give a comment on that?
Yeah, so we have around 25% still to be delivered this year, but we do see that there are inefficiencies in the yards, and we see more and more ships being pushed towards Q1. Now, how many of them, it's difficult to say, but I'm quite certain that some of the ships will be pushed into to Q1.
And we have a question from Matthias Jedrika. He asks, do you consider to temporarily change the route for some of the ships to use Suez Canal or the way around Cape?
Yes, well, another good question. And that comes back to the Panama Canal. Right now, we do ballast our ships to either Suez or Cape. Obviously, the ships which are ending up in you know, Korea and Japan, we still could bid for the Panama Canal slot for a month ahead. But if we clearly see that we don't get those slots, we will also start ballasting ships from Japan and Korea back to around Cape, and we also see that the rest of the owners doing the same. They don't want to be stuck in the Panama Canal.
Any further questions?
Should you have questions, please type them into the Zoom chat box. You can also click the raise hand button to ask your question verbally. Please note that participants have been automatically muted. Please press unmute before speaking.
So with no further questions, I think we can round off the session and thank everyone for dialing in and listening to us this time. Thank you.
We have come to the end of today's presentation. Thank you for attending BW LPG's third quarter financial results presentation. More information on BW LPG and BW Product Services are available at www.bwlpg.com and www.bwproductservices.com respectively. Have a good day and a good night.